It's a wise or foolish trust. This morning, of course, Psalm 27 guides our thoughts on wisdom and foolishness and challenges us to trust God in all situations. Now, throughout the Psalms, the keynote of trust is a constant refrain. The Psalms of Lament make the journey from complaint to a place of trust. And other psalms speak about trust from beginning to end. Now, the church might be seen, mightn't it, as the company of those who are learning to trust. And we learn together. And sometimes, when we are unable to trust God ourselves, we need to rely on the faith of others. And at such times, it can be a great relief to rest in the strong strength, the strong faith of another. And of course, it is right sometimes to complain and weep and rage together, just as the psalmists do, and to cry out against God. But there are also times when it's right to sing our trust and belief in God, and by doing so, encourage and strengthen one another. But in the end, the Christian affirms that trust is an appropriate response to God. Because God is. And God is love. And God is trustworthy. However, putting our trust in God doesn't guarantee the safety of the believer in any immediate sense. As believers, we are no less immune from loss or dangers and hurt or tragedy than anyone else. And trust in God and all will be well is simply not true to the facts. No world events such as floods and droughts and famine challenge the assertion of God's trustworthiness. And what can it mean to trust God when loved ones can be taken away by world catastrophes? And almost daily, the media brings to us news of the most cruel and appalling cruelties perpetrated against the innocent, young and old, all without divine intervention. Now, there are no easy answers, and yet beyond the terrible evidence of history, people of faith are adamant that God is and God may be trusted, that his loving mercy will prevail in life and beyond life, in death and beyond death. Now, Psalm 27 is a psalm for times of fear. It's a psalm of praise and a psalm of trust. The Waiting for Godot is one of Samuel Beckett's most famous plays. And throughout the play, the characters wait and wait for Godot to appear. But he never does. And Beckett uses the play to suggest that hope is futile, especially hope in God. But in contrast to the despair of Beckett, the Bible offers us hope to the sufferer. When we see no possibility of relief, when we feel ready to give up, Psalm 27 encourages us to have faith and not to despair, but to trust in the Lord. Now, in today's world, it's common for people to live with fear. Fear is one of our most destructive emotions. Now, apprehension and anxiety and worry are words that we use to describe what is really fear on our part. And in this psalm, we see a man, David, dealing with fear in his life. Now, we all face fear at some time in our lives. It can be one of the most paralyzing emotions, can't it? It can affect us for just a moment, or for days, or years. And fears may be rational or irrational. They can be born out of personal trauma or through terrible incidents such as floods and fire, accidents, bombings, etc. And events reported by the media can add to our fears and cause us to lose hope and to feel unsafe. And we become negative in our thinking, we distrust people, we lose confidence and become cautious and unable to take on new challenges. And many people fail in life, not because they can't do what they're doing, but because they fear they may fail. And failure in the past can sometimes lead to fear today and into the future. We're afraid to deal with the problems, and so we don't gain experience, and we can't handle it next time round. And so we get stuck in a cycle of fear, a fear that is difficult to break out of. Today, many people faced with problems and fears put their trust in anything but God. And in order to escape their fears, they put their trust in alcohol, in drugs, in gambling, in things that have never solved one single problem, but create thousands. And those who become addicted to and put their trust in drugs, in drinking and gambling, can't live without them. But you know, they can't also live with them. Others put their trust in and become addicted to the pursuit of success, in fat bank accounts, in the stock market, anything but the kingdom of God. Well, events these past couple of years have shown just how misplaced such trust can be. These are foolish things to put one's trust in. Foolish trust. And then we put our confidence and trust in religious leaders, in social workers and teachers. And yet some of them have betrayed the confidence and trust placed in them. And we expect the police to protect us. We trust them to do so. And yet in some towns and cities, they too, like some politicians, have misused the power entrusted to them. And then there are the counterfeit goods, aren't there, on sale? Who can we trust when purchasing items? It's not surprising that our confidence and trust in things and people has diminished. And such things make us wonder if we'll ever see a world where people can enjoy life without fear, without a lack of trust. We wonder who and what to place our trust in. Well, David, the psalmist, is certain in whom his trust is placed. It is God. Of course, we all get fears, and we shouldn't be ashamed of them, but neither should we harbour them. Now, David confessed that he was going to fear no one, not in the hope that confessing it would magically protect him, but because he genuinely believed that the Lord would protect him from all danger. Verse 1 of Psalm 27 in the Good News Bible reads, "I will fear no one. The Lord protects me from all danger. I will never be afraid." The Bible, the Message, puts it in these words, "With God on my side, I am fearless, afraid of no one and nothing." And so David gives us an answer. He said, "With God on my side, I'm fearless." In other words, it is God who gives us the strength to break that cycle of fear. Are you convinced that God is on your side? And can you trust God to be with you? If that would be so, if you can trust him, that would be trust well placed. That would be wise trust. And also in verse 1, the writer tells us that the Lord is his light and salvation. And when a person is with somebody that they love, their face lights up and their eyes shine, and life takes on a new meaning. Now, God loves us, and the light that we receive from him is a reflection of his love for us. And when we begin to see God's light in the thick of our darkness and most fearful times, the darkness and fear will never be the same again. And we will see things differently. We won't react the same again. And we will be able to say to God, "You are with me. You are the light of the world that can never be put out." And so the writer of Psalm 27 encourages us to follow his example and walk in the light, and to keep plugged into our light source. Advice which we would be wise to trust. Well, having told us that God is his light and his protector, it's not surprising to find in verses 4 to 6 that David's single-minded desire is to live permanently in the presence of God and to stay close to him. He loves God, he has confidence in God, and he trusts God. And he knows that only in God lies security, that only where God is lies the truth. And he returns in verses 8 and 9 to the one thing that he set his heart on, to be in God's house forever. He reminds us that God made the first move, and that God will not ask for our love and then withhold his own. It's no wonder that God wants to be forever in God's house. In other words, forever in God's presence. The writer of Psalm 27 describes the Lord as one who offers trust, a light, a saviour, a stronghold, as someone who offers shelter and safety in the face of enemies. The psalmist David could, in all situations and all circumstances, say, "The Lord will take care of me." What trust. Now, we too need to remember the times when God has taken care of us, the times when we have especially been aware of his presence, especially been aware of his help and protection. You know, by remembering, our faith and our trust in him will not only be maintained, but it will grow, and we will become even more aware of his presence and trust. Today we face tough times of financial restraint, of job insecurity, terrorism, and we struggle with day-to-day living. And we can face them, and we can lose our peace, our joy, and our direction. You know, none of us are totally in control of our lives. We need a safe haven where we can gather our strength, our courage, and walk again with trust. David is not only a worshipper seeking God, he is a pilgrim committed to his ways. And as he travels through life, he has the assurance that God is trustworthy. And it is God who gives us solution to our problems. He says we should pray about everything and give him praise and thanks. He promises that when we do that, he will give us his peace that is beyond all understanding. That means that we'll have peace even when it doesn't make sense. Do you trust God to keep that promise? Now, what matters is not great trust, but trust in a great God. That is not foolish trust. That is wise trust. Amen. Let us share just a few verses from the Bible, and Marion's going to read them to us.
Psalm 37, verses 3 to 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and be safe. Seek your happiness in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire. Give yourself to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will help you. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will show you the right way. First Book of John 1, verse 5. Now the message that we have heard from his Son and announce is this: God is light, and there is no darkness at all in him. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him with a thankful heart. And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Christ Jesus. Amen.